What more can you say? Is there anything left to be said about the Ten Commandments? Hundreds and hundreds of books have been written about them. Yet what can be discussed that hasn't already been discussed? Probably not much. But we must continue to explore the fertile soil to see how God is speaking to us in the present. The first commandment is, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. This reminds the Israelites of what God has done and also declares what the Israelites and you and I must do, continue to do. Yet what does it mean to put God first? And who are these other gods today? What this commandment says to this generation is that there is to be no rival for God. God must take primary importance in our lives above anything else that might attract our attention and energy. By expanding the definition of gods, a wide variety of gods begin to call out to us. For some, it could be fame, fortune, or simply work. While for others, it might be our view of other people or ourselves. It says there is a caution as well for the church, because even our communal worship of God can become a god, a rival to the true God. The second is idols. One thing is certain, a great number of people know exactly who God is and who we are as children of God. It is this certainty that has become the idol of the modern believer. By limiting God to what we believe about God and what we understand the Bible to teach about God, oh, we are making God into a static being, something God definitely is not. You see, this commandment compels you and I to beware of the mysteries and the mysterious ways in which God shatters the boundaries of our understanding of and language for God. We don't need to try to put God in a box. We need to let God be all God can be. And we don't need to limit our understanding. We must let God be God, as frightening and overwhelming as that might be. The third commandment, traditionally understood to read, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain, is incredibly valuable in our world today, in the society that you and I live in a world where so much destruction and so many miracles are attributed to God. This commandment encourages you and I to watch what we assign to God. Likewise, we must be willing to see God in places and people where we might not normally see Him. We must be open to the way God breaks into our everyday lives. You see, we need to think about the ways that God comes into the world and we see God in people and places all around, and to not be so judgmental. The Sabbath day is a day of remembering. Here we are reminded that we must be intentional about learning from our past mistakes and successes, so that our time in the present is a holy time. You see, Sabbath is a time of deep soul searching and renewal. It's a time to think. It's a time to look back. It is a time of waking up to who we are to be, and who God is in our lives. It is a day of work, a day for intense introspection and worship. It is seeing who we are and who God is and how the two fit together. When the Sabbath day is a time, or the keeping the Sabbath and keeping it holy, it can mean this day or it can mean any day in the week that you take your Sabbath, that you take a time to reflect and rest and remember, that you put things aside for a little while and just think about what God is doing in your life. Think about how you work together, how it fits together, how it all works. And what are you doing? The fifth one is the one that your parents probably threatened you with as children. Honor your father and mother so that your days will be long upon the earth, the King James, honor. Adults, beware, though, today This fifth word from God is not just about your children. Where are your parents? How are you treating them as you and they grow older? Have you neglected them? What are you doing to honor their lives and their years of love and dedication to you? Now, children, you're not off the hook either. Likewise, children, remember that your parents have experienced some of the same things that you are experiencing. There is wisdom in their years. Be willing to learn from your parents. Respect them and give them a reason to respect you as well. Remember that. Because sometimes when you see your parents, you think, gosh, how in the world do they know what I'm going through? They're like really old. They're what, like 35 maybe? Some even may be 40. Oh my gosh, that's like ancient. I used to just think about that years ago when I was a youth minister for years, and I was as old as the parents of these kids. And they were so funny. They'd come and they'd say, well, Miss Blinda, you're just so easy to talk to. You're not old like my parents. I'm thinking, God, I'm older than your parents. In many respects, I was probably at that time. But it was how they perceived it. And who they, to them, it was just that. And sometimes we don't think about that. And sometimes we just have to listen. Sometimes we have to be respectful and say, remember, parents need to be respectful and children need to be respectful. The sixth one is do not murder. Don't murder. For most of us, this commandment is one that we are pretty well able to follow without a great deal of work. Yet most of us have readily killed a person's spirit, their essence, their being. We've probably said something or done something that's cut somebody to the core, that's just hurt them with our words. Sometimes we might have been trying to correct something, but in turn we hurt someone else. So sometimes we need to be careful. Many of us can think of people who have crushed our dreams by their words. And some things you won't ever forget because of when it happened to you. Likewise, there are people who have given us wings by challenging and encouraging us to live and to live abundantly, to live gracefully. Will we be people who continually bring life and not death to our relationships? Will we be people who bring life to other people with whom we come in contact with? We got a lot to think about. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Adultery has contributed to the demise of many relationships. However, if you are married or in a committed relationship, you know that simply not committing adultery is not enough to ensure a thriving relationship. Not committing adultery is simply a boundary. But the hard work comes in what we do daily to secure a growing relationship. It's what you do to nurture and help that person in that relationship with you. To not be the negative one, to both be positive, to look for the good qualities, to look for things to allow you to grow stronger, and to don't put stumbling blocks in people's path. The eighth one is do not steal. Stealing is not limited to taking something from the local store. Think about that. That one there got me when I was a little kid. I can remember well something I did. With me and Johnny Williams, and he's still mean. Known him my whole life, grew up with him. We went to church together, we went to school together. And he lived right next door to a country store. And he said, come in, we're going to do something. Well, I'm like, I'm visiting his house, because I go along, like, you know, follow along. He went in there and he got two bags of peanuts, put them in his pocket, and he took off. One was for me and one was for him. And I'm like, I can't eat them. I was like 5 years old. But I can remember that as well as anything I remember. And I thought, well, they were yours. Those peanuts stayed in my pocket. I took them home with me. They didn't get opened. Mama asked me where they come from, and I told her. And we went back to that store. And Mr. Quinnan Wrench, who ran that store, he said, you know what? I knew that. He said, he comes in here every day, and his daddy knows that he does this, and I just keep a tab. And I thought, and my mama said, well, you ain't be keeping no tab for one of my young'uns, you know, real quick. You know, that's not going to happen here. But they let him do that. I, on the other hand, of course, gave back those peanuts, and I got my tail whooped. And I got a talking to. And I got a lot of other things, and I'll never forget it. Because I did take something inadvertently. He took it and gave it to me that did not belong to me, but I didn't need it. I was scared to death to eat it. I was like, but I was a part of it by association. You know, you are guilty by who you hang out with. So when your parents tell you this, children and young people, it is the truth. It will get you in trouble once in a while. It might be something as simple as a bag of peanuts. It might be something as simple as getting in the wrong car with somebody. It might be something simple that we think about it. But guess what? It can lead to something else. So we have to be careful. Consider these questions. How is your desire for more stuff at a lower price a means of robbing other people of whom we never see or know? You know, think about that sometimes. By working late, are you stealing time from your family, from your spouse and your children? Are you doing that to avoid? By degrading others, are you stealing their dignity in the eyes of others, or just losing yours? What unethical shortcuts do you take regularly to save time and money? Have you ever thought about that? About things that maybe you take that actually belong to your employer? Or you're one of the employees, maybe it belongs to a big company, and you say, well, they're never going to miss it. That's stealing. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness. We have taken this to mean that we should not lie to others. But often we have not applied this commandment to ourselves. You know, it's kind of hard. We talk about looking in that mirror a lot. It's kind of hard to look in that mirror. Where are those places in our own lives where we are not being honest with ourselves? Where have we failed to be truthful, either about our weaknesses or our strengths? Where have we shown our false self rather than our true self? May we not deceive others or ourselves. And the 10th commandment is to not covet. You shall not covet. When we seek something that we do not have, we become dissatisfied with what we do have. When we want something all the time, when we're looking at other people's stuff and thinking ours is worse and worse, what we need, we have. Most of us have what we need. Now, it's those wants that sometimes get us in trouble. But most of us have our basic needs. And if we see someone who doesn't have a basic need, we try very hard to help them meet it. But we have what we need. But when we start wanting something that someone else has, we lose all perspective. And we lose satisfaction with what we do have. May these insights today, hopefully from the Ten Commandments, be a platform upon which to build a solid foundation. A more solid foundation. May these 10 commandments continue to bring life and not death. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this day. We thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you gave Moses these 10 commandments so many years ago upon Mount Sinai, and as he came down to your people. And of course, we know that many complained and they were not happy. But guess what? We're still complaining, and many still are not happy because we don't know what to do. But some took them and used them, and we have lived by them for all generations. So, Lord, this day we ask that you continue to open our hearts and our minds, continue to allow us to be used by thee and for thee. Go with us this day, Lord, and remind us on this Sabbath day of the things that you have taught us to be and do, the things that you want for your children, the goodness that you have in mind for us. Be with us now, for it is in your Son's great and holy name we pray. Amen.